For a long time, artist Gijsbert van Frankenhuysen painted what he knew best.
In the beginning, when I painted, my paintings were gray, not a lot of color. And I think that was my European upbringing and the European weather, especially the Dutch weather. There's not a lot of sun involved.
But all that changed when he got the chance to illustrate his first children's book. This is Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Bear. Walk into the children's section of pretty much any bookstore or library in Michigan, and you're likely to find Gijsbert's work staring right back at you from the shelf. Even if you don't know his name, you probably would recognize the cover to the first book he illustrated, The Legend of Sleeping Bear. Puffy black bear-shaped clouds floating over Sleeping Bear dunes, all of it luminescent orange from a setting Lake Michigan sun. Gijsbert, known by friends and acquaintances as Nick, has now illustrated several books for Sleeping Bear Press. His latest work is out this year, titled Our Michigan, We Love the Seasons, which celebrates all that makes Michigan uniquely beautiful throughout the year, from dunes to birch forests, bridges to lighthouses. And that's where we'll start, with how he achieved the perfect dappling of the Milky Way, gliding over a lighthouse as the beacon next to the Great Lakes.
What I actually did was use an old toothbrush and load it up with paint and then splatter the paint on. Now, this is very tricky because it doesn't always go right, but it's acrylic paint. What I make sure is I make sure the background is completely dry, and I try it after blocking out the areas where I don't want stars. I use little pieces of ripped paper so you don't get a hard line. And then I sprinkle, take all the paper back off, look at it and say, yeah, that's okay. And if it's not good, I have a sponge and clean water and I can wash it right back off. As long as the layer under it is dry, I can wash it off. And then I dry it, do it again and build it up. And then in the very end, paint some big ones in certain places. You want to control the big ones with the brush instead of by accident.
I mean, it creates this beautiful effect, the layering of the Milky Way in that image. How do you ensure that something like the toothbrush, which doesn't seem like the most reliable tool in the world, other than for cleaning teeth, how do you ensure that you don't get a big blob or a splatter that is not star-like at all?
Well, you have to make sure that the consistency of the paint is not too thin or too thick. It's a trial and error kind of thing. But that's what I've always used, is just an old toothbrush, and it works for me. Now, other people might say, oh, I got to use a big house paint brush or a very stiff brush or whatever they want to do. But for me, an old toothbrush works good.
So I think one of the things that would prevent me from being a very good painter is I struggle to recognize when enough is enough. And I probably keep going until I've ruined the image that I liked before. So I wonder how you tell yourself, you know, that's enough. Those stars, that's the perfect amount.
Again, trial and error, I guess. I have ruined paintings, just like anybody else, going too far. Actually, Robin, my wife, has saved me several times and said, no, quit working on it. It's done.
Everybody needs a good partner to tell them that.
Yeah. It's always just what you've done before. Like you learn, the more you do it, the better it's going to be, the more confident you get.
When did you start painting?
Oh, I was 5-6 years old. Actually painting, yes. I drew first, of course, like every kid. And then I got my first watercolors and my first thick paints. And then when I was 12, I got my first oils. And I couldn't work with them, and I put them under the bed and found them again when I was 16. And by then, I could use them and been working on it ever since.
What brought you then to Michigan?
Oh, I was on vacation in Michigan and found out about Michigan Natural Resources Magazine. That's the official state publication. Well, this was way back in the 70s, and I had just finished art school in the Netherlands, and I was working. I finished graphic design. And my first job was, of course, at an advertising agency, and I hated it. And I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And then I was on vacation in Michigan, saw the magazine, And when I saw that magazine, I knew that that's what I wanted. I wanted to be doing layout, photography, painting, dealing with the printers, doing everything for the magazine. That is what I had learned in art school. And we called the editor and he says, no, there is no job here. We have our own people doing it. And I was really kind of devastated. I wanted that job right there and then, not thinking that somebody already had that job. But on the plane back home, I thought, well, I'm just going to keep bugging the editor by sending him something that I created at the advertising agency. And I'm going to send it every Saturday. I'm going to send him a model over and a sample of my work. And I did that for 11 months. I sent every Saturday, I sent a postcard that I made from something that I created during that week. And I finally got a letter back from him, a postcard, and it said, next time you're in the USA, stop by, we'll talk. I quit my job, was back here in Michigan, walked into the building, got hired about 6 or 7 hours later. So it worked out.
Well, you said that you were on vacation here in Michigan. Were you visiting friends or family?
Friends.
So then you probably were not surprised then by the sizable Dutch population in the state.
Well, I try to kind of stay away from the Dutch population in Michigan.
No!
Yeah, I do. I knew a few people in the Dutch population, but there's something about the Dutch people that live here, and that's not bad, but...
You're not saying we're a stoic and joyless people, are you?
No, I was going to say they're all so religious. And I am not so religious. And it's, you know, people leave for different reasons. And it was all the people that got here 100 years ago that were finding their own religion, kind of. I wanted to be away from it. I grew up in a Dutch Reformed family, so it was... I always wanted to get out of that.
Well, Nick, as a Dutch American, I will just not tell you how I feel about that and we'll move on. Does that sound okay?
That sounds good.
I wanted to talk a little bit about The Legend of Sleeping Bear, which is a wildly popular book. Tell me how you ended up connected with the author and the publishing house to work on The Legend of Sleeping Bear.
Yeah, that was the thing that really changed my whole life around. When I got that offer from Sleeping Bear Press, I had not been working for the magazine since 1993. The magazine died. So I was on my own. I was working, trying to make a living as a painter. And I had a friend who ran a photo agency. And he also liked to write. So he called me one day. He said, Nick, you don't have a job for the magazine anymore. How about illustrating a book for me? I said, sure. That's really what I always wanted to do, is become an illustrator. But it's such a hard place to get into. And he says, well, I've been asked by a company in New York to write a book on firemen stories. And I want you to illustrate that book. Well, if there's one thing hard to paint, it's a fire truck. Especially when you show that painting to a fireman. And it's not something I really want to paint, but I thought if I can get into the publishing business with this book, it's worth a try. So I did 5 paintings and I gave them to him so he could take them to New York. And he came back and he says, well, they don't want your paintings and they want you not to paint this and they want you to paint that. And everything changed, everything. You know, this is just a proposal and I'm doing it again. And he took him to New York again and again it got turned down. And that's when I said, you know what, if this is what book publishing is all about or painting for books, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I gave him the paintings and he hung them on the wall in his little studio. Heather Hughes from Sleeping Bear Press showed up there a couple of days after that. And she saw those paintings hanging on the wall and she said, where'd you get those paintings? And he said, oh, this guy down the street, he used to work for the magazine, and now he's not anymore. He's just picking up jobs here and there, and he thought he'd illustrate the book, but it didn't work out. And she said, well, give me his name and number. I'm going to call him. Hmm. Sure enough, a day later, Heather called, and she said, I've seen your paintings, and I like them, and would you like to paint the Legend of Sleeping Bear? Well, guess what? Of course. I couldn't believe it. And I did some sketches, some thumbnail sketches to give them an idea. And they rolled right over it, just start painting and faxed it back to me. So I said, okay, here we go. And I started painting. And 2 weeks later, I had all the paintings done. And I called them up. I said, I'm done with the paintings. Shall I come over and drop them off? And they said, sure. So I drove to Chelsea with Robin, and I told her in the car on the way over there, now watch him tell me, we don't want that painted, but we want this painted, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and I'm going to probably have to redo all of them. That's how publishing houses work. To make a real long story short, the book that they printed is exactly what I painted. And I even kind of laid it out because I had indicated where all the text should go, and they didn't change a thing.
That's sort of an artist's dream, isn't it?
It is. It really was, and it was totally unexpected.
We've got to take a quick break. In a minute, we'll talk to Nick about how he captured the distinctive glow of a Lake Michigan sunset with paint. Be right back.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Nick, there's a painting in The Legend of Sleeping Bear of these great swells of Lake Michigan, whitecaps kind of crashing together to push forward two islands, the Manitou Islands.
Uh-huh.
And the earth transforms the baby cubs into permanent land. I hate to spoil the story for everybody. What I had never seen before reading the book again to my daughter last night was these gentle silhouettes of the baby bears along the ridges of the forming islands.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how important it is to you as a painter to communicate subtlety in your art as well as the very clear.
Well, I have to tell you, that was one thing that they actually changed in that book. I forgot about that. But when I first did the painting, they were definitely bear cubs that were pushed out of the water. And when the publisher saw that, he said, oh, no, you got to tone that down, Nick. That's too much bear. It's gotta be toned down. So that's, let me look at it real quick. But I know I made them more like trees and dunes instead of black bear cubs. And I do a lot of things in my paintings that people never get, you know, throughout books, or I have a reason why I do something, and that reason gets not seen by other people. And it's fun to hide stuff too.
Yeah. Well, Nick, I'd like to ask you another question about technique, if that's all right.
Sure.
There's this painting of a setting sun in The Legend of Sleeping Bear, and it just glares blindingly off the page. It's something that, as a layman, I've never understood. And I find it in the book of Goodnight Moon as well, this ability to use the palette of colors before you to convey bright, shining light. Can you explain to me how you approach that as a painter, conveying light with something as dense as color?
I guess it's just being brave. In the beginning, when I painted, my paintings were gray, not a lot of color. And I think that was my European upbringing and the European weather, especially the Dutch weather. There's not a lot of sun involved. You know, it's raining a lot of times in the Netherlands. But then I started working on the sleeping bear, and I threw all that out the window. This book was the turning point for me to use bright colors. And the reason for that was, when I started working on the book, I really didn't know what to do because this was my serious first children's book. So I went to Schuler's and I watched kids in the book section. Now that sounds creepy, but it wasn't. I would just sit there and watch a kid look at a book, look at the cover and put it back. Look at another one, grab it out of the rack, look at it, push it back. Grab another one. Oh, sit down and start reading. And I would say, why did you put the other two back and you start reading this one? I asked a lot of kids these questions, and they said, all of them said the colors, the bright pictures, not much text. That was another thing. If they opened the book and it was all text, oh, put it back down. But if there was more picture than text, they were interested in it.
Right.
And I thought, well, I can do that. And I used color in that book. I didn't even start out with a white canvas. Before I started painting, I would turn my white canvas into almost pure orange.
So you're saying your base color was orange rather than white?
Interesting. Pure orange. Mm-hmm. And then I painted on top of that. And you can see that color coming through even in the snow painting of the bear laying in the snow. There's still an orange glow in that painting. And in some paintings, it's gone or mostly gone because if it doesn't work, I kept working it out. But in that sun painting, that's what I started with, was that pure orange and then build my whites and yellows on top of that. It is bright and it works. You have to be gutsy. And I got there with this book.
So when we see that glow coming off of each of the bears that surrounds each of them, is that from the base color?
Yeah. If it's orange or brownish looking, that is always the background color. Yeah, for the very sad mother bear that finally is on the shore, you can see it around her ears and in the bottom and on her back. It's leaving that little bit of color from the background, and it really works.
Now that we're in a digital age, I know that there's this beautiful art that can be created, especially for children's books on computers or tablets, even. By illustrators, but clearly you're still committed to painting and you can see the dappling of canvas pushing through with each of your illustrations. Yeah. Tell me why you're committed to painting still when there are so many digital tools and mediums available to you now.
No, I hate all this computer stuff myself. I cannot do it. I can email and that's where it stops. I don't know how to do anything on the computer. I can download my pictures. I take lots of photographs too. I love to sit in the blind and get animal pictures. I can spend the whole day in the blind and come home with 500 pictures and put them on the screen and sort them out. And I can do that, but I cannot manipulate anything. And if I want to make a painting, sometimes people see my photo and they say, oh, are you going to make that a painting? I said, no, this is kind of separate. I do the photography and I do painting, but I can get an idea from a painting, a certain light or a certain color or a certain something. And I use that in my paintings. I like the process of taking paint, the basic colors, and coming up with any color that you like and creating it into a painting that I want, you know, the way I want it, with a brush and doing it. That's it's fun. It's exciting.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us today and talking to us a little bit about your work. It's been a delight.
Well, it was fun. Thank you very much.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Bear. If you enjoy what you're hearing, subscribe to the pod wherever you're listening right now and leave us a review. It helps other people find the show. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks so much for listening.